We'll bow our heads and say a little prayer. Lord Jesus, please help us to listen, to understand, to believe what you say to us, and to do what you tell us. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, a few years ago, I was in America visiting some friends, and we went out for a meal in a restaurant. And it wasn't a terribly posh restaurant. It was one of those themed restaurants. I think it was 1950s. And there must have been three or four adults and I think a couple of children, maybe three children. And before we had our meal, as we sat round the table, we joined hands and we said grace. Then we enjoyed the meal. At the end, the person who was hosting the meal went to pay and was told that somebody else had paid the bill. They had seen us praying grace together and had been so impressed and moved that they had decided to pay for our meal. I thought that was very kind. I also thought that it pays to say grace. Well, kindness, linked with goodness, but mainly kindness this morning, is today's fruit of the Spirit, as you know. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12, Paul says to the Ephesians, "Be kind to one another." That has a ring about it of school assemblies. Be nice to each other. If I were 6 and a half and listening to the teacher telling me to be nice to people and kind and good and so on, I think I might rather rudely ask the question, why? Why should I? Well, in today's reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, Paul gives an answer to that question about why we should be kind to one another. And it's all to do with our status. Now, those of you who go on to Facebook will know that there's a rather silly idea there about status, which I have never understood, I'm afraid. Such is my ignorance. But status in terms of being a Christian is knowing who you are and knowing whose you are. And so Paul says at the beginning of verse 12 of Colossians 3, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," that's who we are. And it's because we are in God's family, his chosen people, that we are to be kind. Because God in Christ has been kind to us. Actually, there's another word for kind which I rather like. It's the word kindly. Isn't that, it has a nice ring about it, doesn't it? A kindly sort of person. There's another word that the Bible uses which is loving kindness, showing loving kindness towards people. And that's the way God treats us, with kindliness and loving kindness. Lord Hailsham, who was a politician of a few years ago, once called being kind the art of being a deer. D-E-A-R. So, if you're going to be kind, be a deer. Now, says Paul, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with kindness. In other words, put on each morning your Christian uniform. If you go to school in a school uniform, you'll know all about putting on a uniform. And it's coming up pretty soon, sadly. So part of our Christian uniform is to put on kindness. It's as though you start the day by saying, "Lord, thank you that you're kind to me. Today, I'm going to be kind." So then the question is, how? How can we be kind? There was a famous poet called William Wordsworth. Some of you will have heard of him. And he wrote a poem about a place called Tintern Abbey, which some of you will have been to. And in that poem, he said this: that best portion of a good man's life, his little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. Now, if he'd been writing in the 21st century, of course, he'd have said the best portion of a good woman's life as well. And indeed, a good boy's life and a good girl's life. But he was writing in the 19th century. But it's good, isn't it? His little, nameless, unremembered acts of kindness and of love. There was another poet called Alexander Pope who once said this: do good by stealth. In other words, don't let other people see that you're doing it. So I learned from that two things about how to be kind. First of all, you do it in little things. It's the little things of life that hardly get noticed that are kindness. And the other is that you don't show off. You don't say, look how kind I've been. You keep quiet about it. Unremembered, nameless acts. Now, I came across three stories which help us to understand a little bit about being kind. The first one comes from the Old Testament, and it's all about a prophet or a preacher whose name was Jeremiah. And like some preachers, he made himself unpopular. And as a result, he was thrown into a cistern, a deep sort of well in the ground, which didn't have any water in it, but was extremely muddy. And he was left in the dim light down at the bottom of this cistern. Well, a man called Ebed-Melech, an Ethiopian, heard about Jeremiah being down in this cistern and decided he was going to do something about it. So this is how the story goes from Jeremiah 38. So Ebed-Melech took some men with him and went to a room under the treasury in the palace. He took some old rags and worn-out clothes from there and let them down with ropes to Jeremiah in the cistern. You see, he was going to pull Jeremiah up out of this cistern, but he was putting some clothing, some old rags, under his armpits so that the rope wouldn't hurt him. Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said to Jeremiah, put these old rags and worn-out clothes under your arms to pad the ropes. Jeremiah did so, and they pulled him up with the ropes and lifted him out of the cistern. Well, that was a rather kind thing to do, wasn't it? Helping someone out of a hole. That's a kind thing to do. Anyone could do that of any age. Helping someone who's got into a hole, who's got into a fix, helping them out of it. That's an Old Testament story. Here's a New Testament story, and this is all about a jailer who looked after prisoners in a jail. The jail was in a city called Philippi. And in the jail were two very important prisoners called Paul and Silas. That's the apostle Paul and his mate Silas. And they have been arrested and beaten. They were severely flogged and put into the jail. And the jailer is responsible for looking after them and making sure they don't escape. So he puts their feet into stocks. Very nasty. And there they are stuck. Well, unfortunately for the jailer, in the middle of the night, there's an earthquake. And Paul and Silas manage to escape, or rather they get out of the stocks and out of their cell. And this is what happens next. The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. They told him the gospel. and to all the others in his house. And he becomes a Christian as a result of hearing the gospel right in the middle of the night. And then this is what happens next. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. You see what a change it made for him to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and instead of treating them cruelly and unkindly, he treats them kindly and washes their wounds and helps them. Here's one more story, and this doesn't come from the Bible, it comes from today, and indeed it comes from Starbucks. I don't like Starbucks personally, but you may well do. Anyway, there was a Starbucks in America, and people were queuing up to buy their cup of whatever it is they buy in Starbucks. I think it might be coffee, but I'm not sure about that. And what happened was that one person in the queue said to the person behind the counter, "I will pay for the person behind me." And that person took the hint and said to the girl behind the counter, "I will pay for the person behind me." And that went on through 378 people. It could only happen in America. That went on through 378 people until when they got to the 379th, she said, "No, I'm not going to pay. I'm going to pay for my own." Actually, I have thought about this, and it seems to me that it would be a lot more sensible if you're going to do this, and it is a very kind thing to do, pay for someone else's drink. It would be better to pay for the person in front, because you know what they've drunk and you know how much it costs. You don't know how much they're going. You see, the person behind might take advantage of a kindness. Buy some really, really expensive posh coffee. It's a little thing. It's only a little thing, but it's a kindness. And Paul says to us in Colossians 3:12, clothe yourselves with that sort of behavior. One more thing from Confucius, Chinese philosopher. Confucius, he say, forget injuries, never forget kindnesses. Let's say a prayer. Dear Lord, sometimes we forget just how kind you are to us, how patient with us, how tender towards us. We thank you for your loving kindness, your kindliness towards us. And Lord, we pray that we may clothe ourselves with kindness and with goodness day by day, and may look for the opportunities to do little things for people, not great big things and show off with it, but little things that bring people comfort and pleasure. Help us, Lord, we pray, through your Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen.